Which Wrong Note by Kim Lowry and read by Alida Gunn. The Barbie doll had extra red lipstick, wide open eyes, and bright blonde hair, fashioned into a larger hairdo than a real person could bear the weight of. Helga waltzed into the front door with the Barbie in her hand, avoiding the towering stack of newspapers that leaned over the slender path that she wriggled along. I could have danced all night, could have night, ta-ta, oh-ta. Her grin was toothy with crooked white and graying teeth, and she let the smile rain on all the stacks she skirted around. Piles of collected treasures from journals and newspapers to important clothing and rotten food. A rat perched in the center of the 16th tower. She giggled, looking at the little black eyes and his whiskers twitching towards her, like an appreciated greeting of good morning as the sun began to glow outside. She held the newfound doll up so the rat could see it. Oh, looky-loo, Stephen, a new baby for the spells, she said as she closed the door, kicking a box of rotting fried chicken. Stephen, the rat, was the new incarnation of her late husband. She knew. He was there to watch over her, a husband's duty, no matter which vessel he may be in. All the other rats, each becoming a Stephen any time one was seen, had nibbled passages from pile to pile under the heavy newspapers and magazines, from trash to food, then licked, spit, and relieved themselves along each trail. What long, industrious lives they lived! Helga's quality of life measured close to that of the rat's. In the daylight hours, she was able to crawl into a space where she could lie still, and sometimes sleep for hours. Nighttime had become the beginning of the shift of her special work, hunting in the outlands of the neighborhood, quietly picking through their trash bins where she found astounding amounts of food, remains of sparkling clothing, books to die for, and luscious discarded music from CDs to albums and the best sheet music. With it, she added to her fortress. She once sat on the piano bench, playing through every moment possible, until death had come near. It gave her hope when moving into the monotonous suburban neighborhood, and after she was widowed twice. Her first mate died in a terrible accidental fall on the garden rake. Her second love, Stephen, the trusted door-to-door insurance salesman, had passed on to the other side the day he told her the music was driving him mad. Then he stomped out their back door and fell onto the patio, where his heart jerked and jerked again and again. He laid there for several minutes before his heart just stopped. Perhaps he was softly moaning while Helga played a dramatic sonata that she'd been working on perfecting for years. When the police and the paramedics were departing with Stephen's body, she told them she played the sonata impeccably, thus giving her hope to go on in the grim reality of life. Music is the message from above, below, and all around. It's the strongest way that spirits can communicate, she said as the officers and medics readied to leave, when they tipped their hats, patted her stooped shoulder, and drove away. She went back into her home, threw away the special gingerbread yummies she made for Stephen that day, and played her piano for the rest of the night. The gingerbread cookies that she'd baked for him each day to follow the hearty dinner she knew he needed came to a halt after his death. Her daily duties disappeared. Playing the piano was all that gave her some spirit. The very tidy neighbors avoided being around her. She did not fit in between the pickets of their fence. The generosity of loneliness had begun to eat at her soul. She leapt up one morning with a decision and spread the word with those neighbors. She would give piano lessons to their children for free. She explained that were the children taught to focus on music.